Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. All right, great. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I have Amir Ilion here, CEO of Think Big Leaders, and he spends a lot of his time talking to leaders and enterprises and companies about AI, and so really excited to have Amir here on the show, but maybe you can introduce yourself. Oh, and then also you spent a lot of time at AWS leading their innovation, but maybe you can introduce yourself.
Yes, thank you, Dean. I'm very happy to be here and have this conversation with you, and hopefully I can share some insights. Yes, as you said, I have my own company, which is called Think Big Leaders, and I work with all sorts of organizations, startups, scale-ups, and enterprises, to help them wherever they are on this journey to innovation and AI. I started my company about 2 years ago when I left AWS. At AWS, I led the innovation program in the Nordics, which is an interesting perspective in itself. Maybe we get to talk about it a bit. Before that, throughout my career, I've done a bunch of roles in startups, enterprises, NGOs, in different capacities. I've been director of products, I've been training manager, I've been an innovation consultant. So I'm a bit of a variety junkie. So I can stay in a role for a number of years, and I've been in a bunch of companies for 6-7 years, but I always find new things to do. So looking for things to learn and do and make things interesting.
Yeah, that's great. Innovation is such a big word and hard to execute on. And so I'm actually curious, like, what kind of advice do you have to help companies be faster or be open, or how do you go about innovation and helping companies innovate?
Yeah, very good question, because there's, as you say, innovation is a word that can mean many different things. Very early on in my career, when I started with innovation and studied about it and started to practice it, I took a very opinionated approach that innovation is not random, and it's not by chance, and it's not that, like, just for creative people or the great inventors. I think innovation is a skill, and I think it's a method. So my approach to innovation is, it's a muscle that you need to train, and it is something that you can do very well if you learn how to do it, and you have to have discipline. And sometimes people tell me, hey, how does this go together? Creativity, discipline, structure, systematic approach. I tell them, on the contrary, this is grounded in research on how our brain works and how we innovate both individually and in groups. So there are methods to innovation, especially, and the ones that I like most, ones that are turning innovation almost into a science. So it looks into past innovation. How did people come up with these great ideas? And it finds patterns. And this can be patterns for coming up with patents. It can be patterns for coming up for delightful products. It can be patterns for creative advertising. Humans are great at patterns. And we can later maybe switch to AI. How does that match up with that? But then if you learn these patterns and you understand how to tick the boxes, but also go through the right motions, and then there's still some room for creativity. There is great room for creativity, and you need to create, like, a good culture and atmosphere around it. So for me, this is innovation. It's combining that systematic approach, which is grounded in experience, plus creating the environment or the culture that supports new thinking and experimentation and learning from mistakes or failures. I don't like to call them failures. I usually just call them experiments that we learn from.
Yeah. Yeah, I love experiments. And that's the best thing, being intentional about trying something, and what do you want to learn? How you measure it? And maybe can you give us a few tips on what's the process like to innovate and have innovation?
Yeah, and here maybe a good opportunity to mention the process at Amazon, which this is what I did at Amazon. So I led the innovation program here in the Nordics. I'm based in Stockholm in Sweden. And what I did in my role, I shared how does Amazon think about innovation? Amazon is obviously has been innovative along the years, and that's part of its success. So I was sharing how does Amazon think about innovation with other enterprises to try and help them rethink the way that they do innovation and then actually innovate on with them on behalf of their customers. So I'll refer to Amazon's innovation approach, which is one systematic approach, but a very specific one. It's called the working backwards methodology, and it is called so because it works backwards from customers. So you don't start at Amazon, you don't start innovation from technology. You just say, so you don't start, hey, I want to do something with AI or IoT or whatnot, or the hottest thing, right? You start with a customer, you learn, you know them very well. You look at the data, you look at their behaviors, and then you find ways to delight them. So you work backwards from what they need, how can we make them even surprised that they wouldn't even imagine that the reality could be so delightful. And you work backwards from that, even if you don't have the capabilities at the moment. So this is one of the things that I think is different about Amazon than other innovation that I've seen in other places, because usually when a company is very successful and it has good products, it looks at its own products, its own strengths, and it tries to build on those. And at Amazon, if you discover in the world something that is a need of a customer, and nobody is able to deliver that in a satisfactory way, you may indeed build a completely new capability if you think it's important enough and you have a good opportunity to offer something new there. You would build that from scratch. I can give you some examples from Amazon, right? When Amazon came out with Prime delivery, right? Nobody was offering and thinking about delivering next day and now same day delivery. At the beginning, I think it was 2 day delivery. And Amazon didn't have the capability to do so at the time. But if you imagine this is something that would delight customers, you start building those capabilities. You start rethinking about your network of infrastructure and how you operate and how you respond to customers and how you build, in this case, coming back to our AI topic, how you build AI to make you smarter so your logistics works better and it also makes sense economically. So you don't start with what we have and where can we take it. You start with, hey, we want to create something completely delightful and new in the world. Let's work backwards from that and think how we might achieve that. So that's the one big aspect of innovation. And the other peculiar thing about Amazon is that before you build anything and before you write a piece of software, before you build any hardware or change your logistics, you paint that picture from the future by writing a narrative, a text. Amazon is a very much a writing culture. So you write something which is a press release from the future. So you imagine we have now released this product feature program, and we are now telling to the world what it is. And if we are not able to tell it with crisp clarity, we shouldn't start to work on this until we're super clear about what we're building, what for, who for, how is it going to delight them. In that kind of document, we shouldn't even start. So that's a couple of things. And coming back to your original questions, the original question, what should people be thinking when they want to do innovate? So find your own mechanism for innovation. You can say, I'm like Amazon, I start with customers. Or you can say, I start by thinking about partnerships and things that I could do with others and more kind of a business perspective. And then work backwards from that and make it very aligned about with the people that are going to build it. You may choose to do it with a narrative like Amazon. You may choose to do it with maybe PowerPoints or meetings and discussions, whatever works for you, because every culture is a bit different. But have a strong vision and have clarity on how do you want to get there.
Yeah, I love that. That's some really good advice. And innovation can be little and innovation can be big. So it's I love that. Love
There
that.
is, to that point, there is, so one of the strongest things at Amazon is also its culture, and it's expressed very well in its leadership principles, which are the way that the Amazon people do things. And one of them is called invent and simplify. So sometimes innovation is just making things more simple. It's not
Yeah.
adding features. It's not like
I
making
love it.
fireworks. It's just removing friction.
Yeah, we're a tech company ourselves, and some of our principles is like around simple and beautiful because we do a lot of UX tools. We work with developers and designers, and so it's everything simple and beautiful, not just how we build our software and the solutions, but also, yeah, looking at business processes. Simplicity is hard. And so, yeah, I love
Yes.
that. Simple is hard.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'd
great.
agree.
So let's talk AI. Like, I was just chatting with you before we started, and how can we make AI work better for all of us?
Yeah, so I think everybody is now aware of what's happening with AI. And I don't know, even this is going to go up in the air in a couple of weeks. I don't know what's going to happen in that space of time, but like the pace is crazy. And I think the most prominent feeling that I see right now is people are overwhelmed, right? Because of the space of change. And they're also a bit kind of a FOMO, right? So if we don't act, we will miss out and we must do something. And there is actual pressure from the board, from customers, from employees' expectations. It's good to take that into consideration. But what we should be doing is how can it actually bring value, right? We don't want to create just more slop in the world with AI. We don't want to create more garbage, and we don't want to create to flood and overwhelm our employees or our customers with the outputs of AI. So I think to make AI work for humanity, for individuals, for your teams, right? If you make it even more concrete, start by identifying the opportunities. Where can it help? And that's what I try to do. And I try to give frameworks and simplify things because, as I said, it's because it's a general purpose technology, it's very hard to know where to start. So I try to, at the cost of simplification, I just try to put things into buckets. Hey, this could be improving productivity. Okay, let's look for five opportunities of improving productivity. A second one could be, okay, how can we improve customer journeys, right? Where can we sprinkle AI in the product or the ordering process or support, right? Where we have touch points with customers. And maybe if you have energy and in your kind of quarterly strategic meeting, how can we think about disrupting the way things are right now? So thinking about completely new business models or operating models. So try to contain that. And try to focus on value again, coming back on working backwards from something in the future that you want to change. Don't start with the technology. Don't start, let's just do AI for the sake of it. By the way, it's not good business practice because you're going to throw away money and you're going to have to answer to it. Where is the return on investment? And we're starting to see all kind of reports around that. Yeah, so if you focus, make the use of AI intentional, make it focused on value. Have some fun along the way. You need to have some curiosity because people don't know that. You need to lower the fear factor. I always, when I do workshops and be it leadership, be it just professional teams, I try to have some fun exercises to show them. It also lowers the fear factor. Lets people have some fun with the technology.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, even in our company, everyone keeps trying new AI, new this. And I just talked to our CFO. I'm like, okay, you need to do an audit on everyone's expense report because I'm sure we're buying too many subscriptions. Everyone keeps trying. And yeah, we have to like have go-to-market deliverables. So it's okay. Keep trying and being curious, but also keep your eye on business value is what you're recommending. Start with that and work backwards or customer delight. I love that, starting with customer delight. How can we delight the customer? And then we apply the technology. And so it's another tool out there. So I love that advice. And then, yeah, AI slop, like, yeah, these vibe coding tools get you really fast. But some of the hype out there where, oh, you can build an enterprise system with a vibe tool, yeah, that's just not real. And it's not scalable. And but yet no one wants to, but AI is super productive. But yeah, there's so much hype and reality of goodness out there, but us leaders who actually have to deliver, we've got to like temper both of that.
Yeah, and you touched on some critical points. It also answers the question that you asked me further earlier. How can we make AI work better for us? So you need to also understand the limitations and the risks involved with this technology. It can amplify bias, it can make mistakes, it can, and if let it loose out there, it can make definitely life-changing decisions that be it in hiring, in health, and obviously in all kinds of social situations like social scoring and things like that. So you need to be aware of the risks. And we are, there is a saying at AWS that you said, we are building the plane as we're flying. So it feels a bit like that. If you're flying a plane and you're responsible for people's lives, you need to take some precautions or at least be aware where things could go wrong and have a plan B or a emergency landing plan.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And when you work with companies, I'm curious, where do you see like the benefit they're getting in their go-to-market strategies? And because everyone's saying, "Oh, I'll just use AI to automate that. I'll just use AI to automate that. Hey, let us do this for your workflows." And that's just like a generic statement. Yeah, just drive revenue 40%. That's a generic statement. It's easy to make those statements, but then if you have to deliver, like what kind of advice do you give around some of this?
Yeah, I'll give you an example that it actually just happened to me a couple of hours ago. I was on LinkedIn and somebody reached out and I start to message with him or he starts to message with me. And after two, three messages, I notice this is AI, right? And because every message is like two sentences and then it asks me a question. And then again, and I respond, I think it's a human, so I respond. And then again, two sentences about me and I notice that you do this and then asks me a question, right? And after three ones, I said three exchanges, I tell him, listen, I'd rather speak to a human, get back to me when there's a human on the other line. And then again, it asks me the same thing, right? It goes around the same pattern. I say, avoid creating such slop as we said before, right? It's not a magic bullet. It's not, and especially if you're not, just using your common sense on where does it make sense? A sales, if this is the first time you're talking to me, this is a critical moment. Will you let someone just out of school, business school, that hasn't been trained on your company, on your approach, on your culture, and just copy paste what they read in the book to talk to your C-level customer? I don't think so. So why let the generic AI do it? So the only way to go about this is there's a term called human in the loop. I just started a newsletter recently, and in every one I have one term at a time. And in this edition, I decided to have human in the loop as a term. So the human needs to be in the loop, of course, for scale. For once you see that this works, and how can you fine-tune it, and which LLM to use, and which prompt to give it, and lots of things that you can and you should learn how to do. And that's what I try to do to show customers, hey, this is the right way to use it. Then, okay, once you have the trust that it works well, at least as the best expert that you would have doing it instead, then you can scale and then accelerate. And I've seen, I'll just get another story just to finish my long-winded answer there. So about 2 years ago, I was working with this company that wanted to go into AI, and they had very little going. I think they were building a system for helping IT teams respond to system outages and problems and things like that. And they wanted to go all in. And we did this hackathon and I guided them with a framework. I spoke to the CEO a year later. All their products were done well with AI. They were winning the market. They were gaining share because their customers were seeing value. So it required some patience. It required a good methodology to start with experimentation. We said before, learning from what doesn't work, and then doubling down on the things that do work. And those brought like scale and speed, especially now, before everybody's on the bandwagon. This is a great time to disrupt the market, to win some great wins.
So I don't know if you dabble in this at all, but there's really a whole user experience effort needed. And you touched on it when you use AI as part of your software solution and the kind of interactions and answers and how you display information and there's a whole new science a part of that, because you, as you brought out, you want to make that experience worthy of your brand. And so that's a whole nother now engineering and UX discipline that we all need to be building up and working on. I don't know if you have any thoughts around that.
Yes, I think a very good point, and I think we're still very early days where this is. We don't know how these interfaces will work. Recently, I myself have started to talk to my AI when I'm building stuff, so I find it much more easier. And then we have Neuralink, maybe we'll be connected to the brain, so we really don't know. Or even dynamic interfaces that change according to what you want to do now or your preferences and whatnot. At the moment, the majority is just chat-based. I don't believe that will remain the case. It's flexible. And even there, you can see all kinds of experiments, right? You start to see you can tick all kinds of options, do some deep research, and add an image. And the use cases are different, right? Sometimes you want to create an image, and then do you want to edit it? And there's the way that I currently, I would say maybe at least in the next 12 months, if not 2 years. I believe it needs to be a combination of guided, so like a wizard-like step-by-step process, with AI in the right places, with human in the right decision points, and with a UI that is right for the specific task. So for example, I just launched another experiment out there, which I call it gloryhack.com, and that's a creative advertising application. And it starts with an agent that interviews you like as if it was a creative account manager, and it asks you about your business and what is it that you're trying to achieve in this campaign. Then once you've done with that, it moves to suggesting three options for a concept for the campaign, and you just click the options, and then the next step is it shows you marketing copy and you can edit it. And then the next one, it generates images. So four very different steps, where the UI changes according to the specific tasks that I'm now doing. And I don't even say where I don't, the AI needs to be transparent. It doesn't have to, the people who use it, they don't need to be technical. They don't need to understand that in one case, I'm calling an LLM. In another case, I'm calling an image generation API. They don't care about this. They have their workflow, and I need to put AI, the right AI, for each piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I like that. Less paragraph prompts, more iterative, more interaction, human in the loop. I like that. So let me ask you, this might be a hard question because no one really knows, but do you think it's going to be more about AI human collaboration, or it's going to be more AI replacing jobs?
Yeah, as you say, it's a hard question. I hope, and I think coming back, how should we make AI work for us? I hope it's going to be the former, right? So AI augmenting, amplifying what we can do. I know for myself, again, I can achieve 10 times more now with AI. I know a lot of companies and engineers and content creators that can achieve so much more and so much better if they are smart about it and they don't just completely outsource the job to AI. But there is a big skill gap, and I think we need to all kind of work on that skill gap. That's what I'm trying to do when I'm sharing content, when I'm giving trainings and lectures and whatnot. So there is a big skill gap. People don't know how to use it. I hope it's going to be better society, better business, better customer experiences, and not just amplification of the bad stuff that we have.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's about another teammate and not replacing, but collaborating. The state of AI, that's where it's at now. It's a collaborator. It'll amplify work output and creativity and getting work done, but it's certainly not replacing things right now. But yet big tech wants to say that because they have to raise $500 billion to build the next data center. And so it's, but where a negative consequence is, yeah, I really worry about the dumbing down the next generation. Like, we need software developers. We need engineers. We need people trained in critical thinking. And I meet too many people now where, like, they're in tech and they're like not telling their children to study computer science. And I'm like, oh, that's a bad move. Do you have any thoughts around that?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm seeing already, I'm not let we'll come back to the younger generation, but even like senior engineers now, I'm seeing them, their job is changing. They say, I let 80, 90% of the code that I write be written by AI. But the good ones, tell me, I let it write, but then I review all the code because it's my responsibility. Now, to review all the code, you need to understand how is software built, what is best practice, what are security methodologies. You need to understand testing. You need to understand, and it, you can still do it faster than before if it writes all the kind of the routine code for you. And if you teach it, if you give it good prompting or guidance and you prime it to do the good stuff, and maybe you tell it, hey, I want to use this framework, not this framework. I want to use this library, not this library. Now, you can't do it if you don't understand what is good and what is not good. And to understand that, you need to do things yourselves. Humans learn by doing. I've been in learning, I've been in training many years. The only, almost, the only real way to learn is by doing things. And if you don't do things, it's just like theory. Not talking about software management. Will you let an AI make decisions on your biggest investment of the year? I wouldn't say that. So
it's a collaborator. It's a collaborator.
You can ask it to analyze the competition. You can ask it to maybe come up with ideas. It's good at being creative. So give you brainstorm with it.
Yeah.
But in the end, you need to go to the board and you need to say, hey, we're going to go this strategy. This is my responsibility. I've done the research. I've had tools that I've used, but I'm using my judgment to make this kind of these big decisions.
Yeah, no doubt. And not only repetition, learning by doing, I couldn't agree more. And you can write software that achieves the same thing in a bad way or in a good way. And you can have scalability and you can have innovation or not have innovation. But it takes it does take a human collaborating with it. It just won't end up that way, at least not where we are now. And so anyway.
And it's more fun also.
Yeah.
I know some people like to be just in front of screens and work with, they don't even like working with humans. For me, this is part of what life is. This is actually, I like meeting people with different perspective and different approaches because that it challenges me. And I've learned so much.
Yeah.
When I was younger, thought I was so smart and I knew better than most, but I didn't, of course. And having those challenges and seeing things from other people's perspective, that is such an important learning that we need to have there, and not just sycophantic AIs that are telling us, oh, you're great, you never make mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, I learned not early on, but somewhat early on that I used to hire everyone that thought like me, think like me, and we got along great. And we always built the software the same way. And then I was like, okay, wait a minute. There's psychology here. You got to hire people that are different thinkers and have different thought processes and psychologically and are just different than you. Okay, team collaboration may get a little rough, but you'll get innovation, great ideas, and diverge in different ways for the benefit of whatever you're doing. And yeah, if we use the same model, will we get that? Or will it always have that same personality and thought process?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that thought with you. And
I completely agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't have said it better.
And so is there a question I didn't ask you that you want to share some thoughts with our listeners?
I think maybe not a question, but something I'd like to say to leave the listeners with. So I think this is a great opportunity. And it's a great opportunity to rethink individually and as teams and then as an organization and maybe even as nations and humanity, what do we value most and what do we want to do ourselves? And then how can we make AI do the things that we need to happen still, but are taking away from the energy and the focus of the things that are really important, right? So I would invite the listeners to think, hey, this is the core thing that I want to be. This is the core thing that our company is delivering. And can we use AI to, together with the humans, to achieve what is most important and not just chase this new technology just to be hip and hype and whatnot?
Yeah, no, that's good advice. And yeah, I had a nightmare the other day. I don't code anymore, but I coded in the beginning and I was like, God, wouldn't that be horrible if like future generations can't experience that thrill of creativity, that thrill of having a vision, build it, struggle to get other people to use it, struggle to improve it. But then at the end, it's something that's beautiful and people appreciate it and you're delivering value. I think it could be the same world, but collaborating with AI, but like, it would be horrible if like, humans don't think they have to be part of the creativity and the I think delivering innovation and new solutions and new ideas. I think that's my
Yeah.
point of view of what the world should become.
I agree. I couldn't just see myself just sitting on the beach and just talking to my AI, do this for me, do that for me. No, I have to be the builder or part of the building. I love that I now can do so much more and so faster, and I don't need to wait for others or pay loads of money to get things done. But still, I want to be in the party.
Yeah, and that's the big benefit, what you just said. Get things done faster. Don't have to wait for others to do it. That's the amplification of getting work done as an AI teammate on your team. And yeah, I love that. Amir, yeah, it's really great talking with you. If people want to get in touch with you or reach out to you, how can they do that?
Yeah, one of the places where I'm active is LinkedIn, so just look for my name. I think we'll also have the links, probably Amira Leon on LinkedIn. My company website is thinkbigleaders.com. You can also find me there. And I recently started a newsletter. I hope I can go on with it. So it's on Substack. So if you look for Amira Leon on Substack, you'll see the newsletter. And I share some of more of the things that we just talked about: culture, innovation, AI, customer stories.
Yeah, awesome. Well, all those topics are critical for all of us moving forward. So I'll go check out your newsletter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you for having this podcast and getting sharing this knowledge with others.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io. Or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.